Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being Juno's bitch. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. If you're listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click on chat and go. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am alone in the pen as Joe and Pip are live from their home studios.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
From a remote location.
Yes.
Undisclosed.
Yeah, trust me. We know how to find you. We found Bin Laden. you see that snowplow, Joe? That's a drone. Anyway. On tonight's show, we go over Lake Superior State's banished word list for 2015. We conclude our interview with scam victim turned victims advocate Tracy Douglas. And we see what scam victim, anti-scammer, scam victim, resident expert Ann Jackson's up to. Always fun to check in with her.
She's a nut.
You think? You think?
She's out of her mind. I don't know if she'll ever come to her senses.
Well, I mean, sometimes you think she's in cahoots, Joe. You've gone back and forth.
Yeah, well, it goes back and forth every time because the dynamic of the story changes. And like I said, sometimes I'm adamant that she's delusional. And then sometimes she leaves a benefit of the doubt sometimes, and maybe that she is in cahoots with these other guys.
Well, I really don't know what to make of her. I don't know. But we continue on the journey. That is Ann Jackson. But before we get there, I guess more pressing news. Juno! Storm of the century. Once in a lifetime storm. Never going to see the likes of this again. If you've never seen a dusting of snow. Because that is what I got. We got more snow on Friday into Saturday than Hurricane Juno. So it did not really affect me. Did it affect you, Pip?
You know, it was a few inches of snow. And I mean, enough for our friendly family of Mexicans to come over and do our driveway.
Wait. Mr. Helix does not do the driveway?
No. We don't do that.
What do you mean you don't? Well, I know you don't do that.
No, I mean, he went out there and shoveled himself out because he had work this morning.
He shoveled himself out. You're stuck at home, woman.
No. Well, you know what? It wasn't that bad. So, and I knew that they would, our landscaper / snow removal service would come eventually, and I didn't have work this morning.
You see, and now this goes, Joe likes to rail against our Mexican friends, but here we are, Joe, doing quite the useful job.
I understand that. They banged on my El Doro, and I told them I'm fine, I'll do it myself.
And that's why you're going to have a heart attack, and you're going to have a heart attack and die in the snow, and Pip Helix will be fine.
No way. I'm almost 75% done my drive. I got about another 2 hours to go after the show. All be done.
How much snow did you get, Joe?
We got about a foot and a half by me. And it didn't stop snow until about 1 o'clock. And my roads, I think they attempted to drop a plow on my street. you know, it's still my street still needs to be plowed out a lot better than it is. And I was shoveling for the past 2 hours, ate dinner, doing the show, and then I'm going out for another 2 hours and finish it on up.
Now, why don't you have a snowblower?
I don't want one. I'm not going to lay out $500. I'm not going to, lay out $500 for something that's going to stay in my garage most of the year, and I'm going to use maybe once, twice, or three times. I got a big snowboard shovel. I'm still healthy enough to do it myself. It's good exercise. And I go out there and I get it done.
How many times do you use a lawnmower during the year?
I use it about maybe 12 to 15 times.
So in your mind makes more sense to have.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
Oh no, it's so. I had a snowblower at my old house. We had a really long driveway, and we had a really long sidewalk that you had to uncover or you'd get a summons. And, man, if we didn't have that snowblower, we would have been papering the house with summonses. Thank God for that thing.
Now,
Longer driveway, I'd probably use it. But I got a big driveway, but it's not really a long driveway where I need something like that.
Is it a girthy driveway?
I'm sorry?
Is it a girthy driveway, Joe?
It's a girthy. It actually is a girthy driveway. Yeah. It's a girthy driveway with a big vein on it.
So for you, if it was longer, Joe, you would take extra precautions. But you're better equipped to handle the girthy driveway, is what you're saying, Joe.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Noted. Noted.
See, now I've had a snowblower for 9 years. I would say since I've been up here. I don't think we've ever made it through a season where it worked. Every time, every time it snowed and we needed it, it did not work. We had the snow over the weekend, and once again, it did not work. The snow was getting stuck in the chute, so it was useless. So then the guy who fixed it said we need to get silicone, which we got, which lubed it up nice and good. So we
excuse me, you had to KY your snowblower?
I did. I had
all
to
all over the shaft.
Yes, all over the shaft, make it nice and smooth. So there would be little resistance. I don't like resistance when I'm blowing my snow.
No, it sounds like you had to KY the inside.
Well, to be fair, I didn't KY anything. The wife did.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. This is a manual labor, which is not my expertise. I'm more of the intellect and looks around here. So take that.
Oh, you don't go out there. What, do you let your wife shovel the driveway?
Did I say I didn't shovel? I said I don't use the.
I'm getting that impression.
I said I don't use the snowblower.
Okay.
So we tested it out after it got properly lubricated. And the snowblower was working like nobody's business yesterday. It was working great. Never had it work so well since we got it. So I knew, in lieu of my snowblower rising to the occasion, that we wouldn't get a lot of snow.
That's the problem.
It was the storm of the century. It was a dusting. We got so little.
Well, that was de Blasio saying it was going to be the storm of the century. Apparently, the storm turned its back on de Blasio.
Well, yeah, it's funny. In his defense, Joe, it wasn't really de Blasio saying it. It was the meteorologist saying it. You know, he was taking precautions.
I just go by, you know, de Blasio's you know, statements. But, however, yeah, he's working off of what the meteorologists tell him. And, in de Blasio's defense, I mean, a lot of these guys are going, well, you know, you guys over-exaggerated it. And if they didn't, and people got stuck, and some people died in the snow, they would never hear the end of it. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. So you want to know something, so you scared the shit out of everybody. At least nobody died, everything got plowed, you know. So, you know, so be it.
No, I agree with you. The danger with this, though, is when the meteorologists get this wrong, and they do on occasion. When they get it wrong, and we have what we have for the most part, with the exception of you, I mean, because we were all supposed to get walloped. Long Island got walloped on this one. People are not going to take the next one so seriously, which is the downfall. But you know what? These guys got to play it up. First of all, it makes for good ratings. But
yeah,
but you got to warn people. I mean, they really thought this was going to be a monster storm. It just the storm wound up going out a little further east. Than they expected.
You're dealing with, you know, and the thing about it is, though, in the weather people's defense, I mean, the models that they were looking at, it looked like where it was going to converge was going to be like over the Jersey Shore and going into Long Island and hugging the coast and going up to New England. And that's the model that they were going with. That's the model they saw. Apparently, you know, I mean, you can only project when the storm actually started hitting. Oh, gosh, probably around 9 o'clock last night. The convergence point was actually a little bit, like you said, farther, I guess, inward or upward than originally predicted.
It was dealing
with the force of nature.
It was further east than they predicted. Now here's the thing: 18 inches is a lot of snow. As a kid, which is what Joe got, although they expected 3 feet, which is crazy. As a kid, I thought like a foot was a lot of snow. We've had so many of these storms within the past decade that are more than a foot, especially, you know, living up here. A foot no longer impresses me. Does it impress you, Pip?
Wow, you're saying 12 inches doesn't impress you.
Well,
it would impress the fuck out of me.
Well,
are we talking about snow?
Yeah. No, not. I guess not. Yeah.
No, if we're talking about snow, a foot of snow doesn't really impress me either. What really stayed in my cranium was there was this one storm in the 90s where it had snowed so many times with a lot of snow that my long, skinny driveway that I spoke about before. Sorry, Joe, not girthy, just long and skinny.
Some like it long and skinny.
Right, well, you know, to each their own. That's why, you know, there's a lid for every pot. But the thing is that we had no place to put the snow after a while because we had these walls of snow, and I was chucking snow up over my shoulders. Like, talk about a heart attack waiting to happen. There was just nowhere to put it.
Well, we have that here because you guys see where we have a townhouse where I live, and we don't have a corner place.
No.
So on both sides, we have people. So there's no place to put the snow. So we've had storms where there's like snowstorm after snowstorm, and we've had a couple of feet of snow, and there's no place to put it.
That's what it looked like. That's what it looked like last year.
Yeah.
You know, you had those big walls up last year.
Yeah, you guys have seen it. I mean, this was a pleasure. I mean, people are like pissed. Oh, we didn't get the storm we were expecting. You know what? I like a good snowstorm. I'm not going to lie. I don't like shoveling a good snowstorm. I'll take this.
No.
Well, I even posted that because I'm like, I even said the same. No, we're not going to get the storm we expected. I'm like, what am I, an idiot? I got to shovel this shit.
But here's what I don't agree with. I agree with the warnings that they did. I don't know about shutting down the subway because you still have people at work, and God forbid somebody has an emergency if they have to get to a hospital or something. I mean, I understand that they shut down the subways maybe because the people working the subway so they can get home. I don't know. I didn't agree with the shutting down the subways. I didn't agree with them closing the schools a day before. You know what? Why don't we wait? We can wait till 5 a.m. when you wake me all the time and make the call then.
No, you know what? I agree. I heard an explanation on the news about the subways that made sense to me, and it's the same as the trains, is that they had to find a safe, dry place for the cars to be so that when it was time to put the trains back into motion, that they were going to be ready to go, and it wasn't going to be this massive, you know, unshoveling. I know that sounds...
Yeah, but they've had snowstorms. They've had snowstorms before, and they seem to handle it.
Well, sometimes what happens is you get equipment failure. You know, after the storms, you get a lot of equipment failure due to the trains being out there. So I guess what they wanted to do, I think they're trying a new way to do it after the past storm last year, and just trying new things. I guess you learn. You know, when any event happens, and you look back and go, all right, what could we have tried during this weather episode? And people go, well, we could have done this. We could have kept the trains in. We could have this. Why don't we call the city? So they said, all right, next major storm, why don't we try to put them into play? And they did. Now, some things maybe went all right. Some things, I guess not so much. But the only way you find out if something is going to work or an idea is going to work is try it in real time, you know, and then you reassess.
Yeah, no, that's logical. There's going to be a lot of reassessing. But, you know, like I said, I don't think de Blasio should get killed for this. I don't know why they had to cancel school yesterday afternoon for today, but I guess, you know, they panicked. I remember as a kid, I was probably in high school at the time, they predicted a massive snowstorm, and it was sunny. So what do you do?
And you want to know something? A lot of times, too, like they'll have a storm like this. Holy cow, it's Juno. Hide your kids. Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
hide your kids. Like Juno's going to break down the door and rape them.
Eat them.
Yeah.
What happened to your kids, Juno? Juno, he took both my kids.
Well, the funny thing is, when I was on the expressway yesterday on the overhead signs.
Where you took pictures once again while driving in the snow?
Yeah, it said, coming tonight. Blizzard. I'm like, what is it, a new show on FX? Oh, my God. Sons of Anarchy went off. Now we can watch Blizzard.
That's funny. Well, you know what? You get angry at the weather, I've noticed. You do get angry. Which I don't understand, because it's not something any of us can control. I never get mad at the weather. There's plenty of things to get mad at. The weather is never one of those things. Yeah, because you were upset that it was like blizzard-like conditions, and you're like, well, call it a damn blizzard. And I merely explained what they said a blizzard was, and you were not pleased with that answer.
Because I'm not being able to explain, because you want to know something. When you're in a blizzard, you're going to sit there, let's get the dictionary and find out what's actually going on. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, it's a blizzard. No, I don't give a... to me, it's a blizzard. If the snow is blowing and I can't see a damn thing in front of me, it's not a blizzard-like condition. It's a blizzard.
Well, no, it's a blizzard-like condition. Because you know what? You'll drive through a snow squall, and you'll drive right through it in 5 minutes. That happens sometimes.
I know, but this wasn't going on for 5 minutes. This was all damn night.
Not here, it wasn't.
Today.
This wasn't even a storm-like condition.
Well, it depends where you are. I mean, you know, up by you, you're like, really? Down by me, you're like, you know, so it depends where you are.
A foot and a half, though, that's not too bad.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's funny because after the storm we got last year, which was 3 feet of snow, That was a laugh riot, and it took me the whole day to do. I mean, at least I'm making – I didn't do too bad. Like, usually it takes me 4 hours to shovel the drive in a decent-sized storm, which it was. So, yeah, I was out there for 2 hours, and I got 75% done, and which wasn't that bad. So the only thing I got to do – the only thing I have to do is when I go back out is shovel towards the front of the driveway. Now, the plow guy – the plow guy is always a problem. You know, you shovel when the plow guy comes because you're almost at the end of the driveway, and then the plow guy comes and screws you up. You know, screws you all up.
Well, I've told you that because the way they plow around here is they take all the snow from the other side of the street and the middle of the street and throw it on in front of our side of the street. So, like last year, remember I told you, like I was the only house. It was like over my car. That's how much, and it was thick and it's heavy. I mean, the plow guys are real sons of bitches. I understand they got a job to do, but be a little courteous. How about you spread the pain?
Yeah, really? What the hell?
You want to know something? I don't think, you know, in their defense, you know, 12 hours behind the wheel of a truck in a storm, I don't think they give a damn what anybody thinks.
Well, they're getting like overtime, Joe. I don't feel pain. They're doing all right. It's their job.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, I knew a plow guy that used to do my street, and I talked to him. It was, you know. And sometimes they don't make enough money, and the you know, plowing destroys their truck, screws up the front end, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, you know. So, you know, it's all, but they do make decent money. I mean, you know, if they didn't do it, you know, I mean, that's the whole reason that they did it. I almost actually worked, my buddy almost had me hook up. I almost was driving a plow maybe about 7 years ago. And I guess he had a falling out with his brother-in-law, but I was going to be one of those plow guys.
Oh, my God.
I could see you doing that with your cheery disposition. Is Joe just like ramming cars on the side of the road that are parked because they didn't give him enough space in his mind?
Yeah.
You didn't need that side view mirror. Those guys are ruthless, man. The worst is when you're driving on the interstate, like a big highway, and you're stuck behind all of them, and you're the car, and you're just getting pelted with crap. And go, well, here comes hundreds of dollars of paint damage. Thank you.
Yeah.
Or all that rock salt is just pounding at your car.
It's no good. It's not good for the car.
No,
but we're lucky. We're lucky though that they actually use the salt, even though it beats everything up. Like I remember being in Canada and everything, and they use sand, and that really is nowhere near as good as the salt as far as melting the stuff and making the roads passable.
Oh yeah.
It's funny because you would imagine that they get a ton more snow than we do, and they're using something less effective.
Was it Canada? Well, I think it's Canada, but also in I want to say in Wisconsin. It was the same thing because they cut back when Walker came in. Like I was there his first year, and we got nailed with a huge snowstorm. I said that on the air when I had to walk back from the comedy club to the condo. There was like a state of emergency, and no cars could move, and my car couldn't move. So we walked back a mile both ways, Joe, in the snow. And the next day there was still a state of emergency, but we had a comedy show.
And did people show up?
Yeah, we had people show up.
That's hilarious.
People show up in the worst weather. You know, it's weird. I mean, you know, you have a really crappy night, you know, with weather, and the damn place is a mob scene.
They have nothing else to do.
Well, all the clubs canceled, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure all the clubs canceled. Did you guys do anything interesting during the blizzard?
No. I just came home, and I worked on a couple of things. I mean, I got up, like I said, I worked on our stuff today. Mm-hmm. And then I went out and I shoveled, and I came back in, and I was just asked, did you clean off my car? Yes, I cleaned off your car. Are you done? No. Okay. And, you know, that was about it.
I was going to wonder, what was that like being trapped with the missus?
It was peaceful enough.
Okay, I'll leave it there.
Yeah, well, he's still under siege, you know?
Yes, exactly.
He's talking like a hostage.
You figured out last Japanese guy in the ISIS death.
Oh, Joe. Don't worry, Joe. Nobody's paying $200 million to extradite you from your situation.
Yeah, I don't think the Japanese are either.
No, that's terrible. That's terrible, what these ISIS are doing. But, yeah, that's depressing. Thanks, Joe.
They're animals.
They are animals. There's nothing really we can do. People are like, we got to invade. Invade where? We're going to invade in Syria? We're going to go in Iraq? Why don't we just take over the Middle East?
Yeah.
How about no?
I mean, where are we going to go? I mean, these countries have to fight them. I mean, we could drone attack them and everything. But, I mean, well, what they do is horrible. It is horrible. But they've killed, I want to say, about seven people. Seven Westerners, including the Japanese, if they're considered Westerners, even though they're Far Easterners. So, really, we're going to send in a whole unit to get these animals? I mean, a whole army? I don't think so. I don't think we're going to do that.
Find a SEAL team, you know, if you could get a SEAL team to centrally locate them. But, they all do a whole bunch of other cheery stuff while they're not, you know, killing hostages, like shooting and killing school children and stuff like that. So they got a whole host of activities in between.
Oh, yeah, they're not a one-trick pony. I don't mean that at all.
No, they have enough to keep them busy of horrible atrocities.
ISIS's dance card is full.
No, I mean, listen, honestly, the Middle Eastern countries have to, they really have to want to do it. You know, we can give them some support. We can give them intelligence and everything and, you know, tactical support. And, you know, we can give them cover even though we've bought them all air forces. But they gotta want to do it.
How do we go from ICE to ISIS?
You did that, Joe. That was you. That was you, Joe.
That was you.
That wasn't me.
That was me.
No, that was Joe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was there any interest? Any interesting?
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you, King of Segways. Now Joe would like to go to Infoside. Joe. the slit your wrist, Davin's Den episode, where everybody's holed up in their house and want to kill themselves, and Joe's going to give them the impetus for it.
Well, we have to include ourselves in that.
I don't want to kill myself.
No. Okay, good.
I did last summer. Does that count?
No, that was two summers ago, wasn't it?
No, this was past summer.
No, it was two summers ago that you were really having issues.
No, I was having issues this summer and tried.
Well,
I was thinking of killing myself.
Oh, Christ.
It was definitely this summer.
You know what, Joe? Here's the thing, Joe. Your personal life jumped the shark for me. I just stopped paying attention after a while. I'm sorry.
Yeah, look, me out of anybody would want to know when I wanted to kill myself. It was July.
All right. I guess you would. I guess you would have more of a vested interest in it than any of us.
Yes, I would.
Time flies when you're not having fun.
I guess.
I'm having fun now. Everything is all good now.
No.
Yeah. Good.
Yes.
We like a happy
time. Don't say that too loud.
I don't think Davin does.
You don't think I what?
I don't think you like me happy.
I really don't care. for your personal life, I want you to be happy. I mean, you're no good to me dead. I'll be quite frank about it. I mean, like we've talked about, then I have to take time out of my schedule, pay my respects. Somebody's going to have to give a eulogy. I'm probably in the top 10 for that.
Yeah, well, I figured you and Lenore will do double duty.
Well, yeah, I think we should. I mean, somebody should notify Anthony so he can make sure he doesn't attend.
He wouldn't come. No, he won't go.
No, but somebody should notify Joe Kumia. Joe will come. Dawn will come.
Show up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, people will show up and everything. So we got to notify people that you're going. Quite frankly, it's an inconvenience. But no, I mean, personally, yeah, it's good when you're alive. You're a good comic to put on my shows. That helps.
Good. All right, I'll stick around.
Yeah, well, yeah, please do.
That's the only reason?
Well, no, I got to tell you, I got to tell you, his happiness, though, is a little inconvenient for me, because there was things I wanted to discuss with Joe this weekend, and he did not get back to me. So that was, that's a little disconcerting, where his happiness might be getting in the way of things I need done.
Well, things got done.
They did, but I didn't get any feedback from you. I didn't know what was going on. I'd actually called you, and I didn't hear back from you. Now, Pip informed me that you texted me, but I never got that text.
Hmm. All right. I guess maybe I didn't get out.
She got it.
Well, I got it.
She got it.
You got it?
I just didn't get it, so it's not your fault.
You didn't get that text?
No, I didn't. No, Pip informed me today.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Oh, gee, that's odd. I guess maybe we're not getting anything. All right, well, nonetheless, let's, you know, that's for later.
Oh, good idea, Joe.
That's for later.
So, all right, so here's a fun little incident that happened in my kid's school. I want your guys' feedback about this.
Okay.
All right, so listen, this happened in my daughter's class last year. She was in the second grade at the time, so she would have been 6 and 7 years old. So it's a class of second and third graders because they combine because it's pi, so it's like two different grades in one. Got the picture?
I'm sorry, you said because it's pi?
Yeah, it's like parent interactive education. That's what that means.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you had mentioned that once before, but that acronym always makes me think Apple.
Right. Anyway. yeah. Thank you, Pip.
Well,
No. We know why you thought it. Thanks for trying to explain it, though. But, yeah, anyway, it just means more work for me and my wife to do. That's what that means. Hey, not my choice, okay. Whatever. Oh, by the way, it is officially the third grade, the age where I can no longer help my daughter with her homework.
we've reached the point.
Oh, yeah, she's getting homework in math, and I've talked about it on the air before, because they're asking for all different things. They want, like, arrays. I'm like, unless a ray is beating the crap out of somebody in an elevator, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I don't know.
Array?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a wide array of bullshit, Joe. I don't know what it is. It has to do with multiplication. It's like, I think it's like algebra or something. So she'll have, like, math homework that I can help her, you know, straightforward, like, multiplication at this point. And then they're asking for things with, like, terminology I've never heard of. And my response to my daughter is always quite the same. It's twofold. First of all, I don't give a crap about this math. Just make sure you know how to do the proper answers. That's first one. So she knows I don't care.
Right.
Second one, ask your mom.
Hey, you know what's funny, though? I would call up the teacher, and go, not for nothing. What do you think? The kid comes home to the jet propulsion lab?
It's not the teacher's fault. Joe, it's not the teacher's fault. It's Common Core. The teachers don't have a choice. They have to teach this crap.
Couldn't they come up with maybe a glossary of terms so that the parents could help?
No, I don't think they think the kids' parents are retards.
Well, that doesn't make you a retard. It means this is a brand new system, and it's like they're using terms that we don't know. Well, you don't have to be grandpa not to know what that means.
Well, part of the problem is also that they don't have textbooks. Like, we used to have textbooks where you could really learn and figure out what they did real quick. Your kid like, we would come home with homework, and we didn't know how to do it, and our parents would skim through where they taught you how to do it.
They would read the textbook and tell us to figure, you know, what Nettie would do with me. She would go, all right, look at the problem and work out the problem. Read it together. And you would sit and read the textbook together and figure out the problem together. They don't do this anymore.
There's, like, an example. They give, like, an example on the worksheet of how to do it.
Right.
But maybe I don't have the patience for it. Maybe I'm too stupid, or maybe it doesn't explain clear enough. Here's why I don't think I'm too stupid, because even the wife, who's much better at math than I am, even there's been a couple, she goes, I don't know what they're asking for either.
Yeah,
but they do not have books?
No, no textbooks.
What the hell?
It's a brave new world, Pip Helix.
I don't like the new world.
Well, that's why you're old and crotchy and threw out your back today, Grandma.
Well, it's my.
Yeah, my back doesn't like the new world either. It's on strike.
Your back turned its back on itself.
It did. It said, this new world sucks. I am switching around. No, I'm actually breaking you so that you feel like you're 100. There you go. Have a nice day. I moved like an inch of snow and it broke me. Joe, my hat's off to you.
Lisa wrote, the answers were always in the back of the book, which was true with a lot of the math books too.
A lot of the math books, but yes, the teachers always had the answers in the back of the book. But even we did. But you really weren't encouraged to look at them. But
right.
on these worksheets, there's no answers. And I'm kind of like, well, you know what? Let me help you with some of it. But at some point, the teacher should know that you don't understand it. And that my daughter said, the teacher explains it one way, but, like, the math worksheets explain it a different way, and my wife explains it a different way. She understands it, she thinks, when the teacher explains it. She understands it when my wife explains it. I can teach her how to do regular math, but I can't teach any of this other stuff. I'm like,
Let me tell you how confusing that situation is. When I got certified by the National Association of Purchasing Management, when I would study, when you would go, you had to take three different tests. And which would be really rough, because the thing about it is, when you would go to class, your teacher, who was a purchasing manager, would teach you a certain way. The workbook would teach you a certain way. As I was a purchasing manager, my day-to-day experiences, I would do things a certain way. So you would go to take a test, and they would ask you a question, and there was really no certain, you know, there was three right ways to do it, but you had to make sure that you did it the way the board wrote it. And it's very confusing, because there were some instances where the question could be right, three different ways, but It had to be this way. And it's not like 2 plus 2 is 4. Everybody knows 2 plus 2 is 4. But when it's like an equation where it could be any which certain way, it's just frustrating as all hell.
And that's what my daughter is encountering. And that's really what this Common Core math is. I mean, parents look at it like myself and go, okay, 2 times 7 is 14. It's always 14. Just remember, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, what's 2 times 6? You know, 12. All right, you know, there's ways to do it and everything. But, I mean, we did it on rote memorization. You know, let's be honest. We did the times table. You learned the times tables, and you just kept on memorizing it. And then when it got too big, you used a calculator.
Yeah, hey. I used to sit there. I remember my mom used to sit there with the flashcards with me.
We have the flashcards.
And then comment, I'm one of the stupidest kids on the face of the earth. And if my father was still alive, he'd roll in his grave. You know, he'd be ashamed of me. But nonetheless, the flashcards were fun.
Well, these kids are learning algebra. You got to remember, these are second, third graders and everything. The mind is not really ready for algebra. Because I remember I had algebra in the seventh grade. And
yeah.
I was like a D student in algebra. My dad was helping me with it. Lots of fights and everything. Went in for extra credit. I mean, extra help with the teacher. Really struggled. I was like a solid D student in algebra. And I was a good student. But I was really struggling. When the eighth grade came, it all clicked for me. All of a sudden, I was like a B-plus student in algebra. And it's not like algebra all of a sudden like made itself evolve to my brain. My brain was just better able to handle the concepts because I developed more.
Right.
So to have these young kids doing it is kind of crazy.
According to Tom, Common Core, 2 plus 2 equals apple because elephant.
Tom has put that on my Facebook timeline a couple of times, but now I'm actually going to be part of my t-shirt makes fun the one I'll be selling the one I ordered a very expensive t-shirt by the way because it's got six colors I showed you last week, but it talks about it makes fun of all the teachers sleeping with the students, the hot teachers,
yeah.
And it makes fun of Common Core, so it says has a hot teacher on front of a chalkboard, it says Common Whore Curriculum. Finding pi and has the pi symbol has never been easier. So, but anyway, that was not the point. It was not another Common Core rant. I've even blogged about Common Core. That was not the point. This is actually worse than Common Core. What happened?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't understand why they keep pushing for it. I mean, my friend goes through the same thing with her daughter as you go through with yours. Here's why, Joe.
It's a fad. Remember, I'm younger than you guys. All right, so when I was like in elementary school, you guys were probably still in school, they started pushing the metric system.
Yeah.
What?
You get the metric.
But they were pushing the metric. Which?
Yeah, they had the new math and they had the metric system. And the funny thing is, we all have to learn the metric system. It's going to be the way, and we're going to, we turned out we never did.
Exactly. I mean, which actually makes sense because we're the only country that doesn't use the metric, so it kind of makes sense. But that was the fad. This Common Core is the fad. You know, in a couple years, they're going to forget about the fad. Then we can just go back to good old fashioned math.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Expense of the kids. You know, I mean, some egghead dreamed all this stuff up. And they're all the way deep in. They're trying to push it. I don't know teachers that like it. I don't know that parents like it.
Well, the teachers don't like it because they're set in their ways as well. And now they're all teaching to this test, which is a shame because pi isn't really supposed to be teaching about tests. You know, actually, there's some pi classes where they don't have tests. That's part of the allure of pi.
But the PTA usually has such a strong voice, and I'm sure a lot of the PTA groups have been fighting against this. Now, I don't have kids in school. Am I correct in this assumption?
I think there are some. I think there's actually been, like, strikes and everything, but not a lot. Listen, there's a lot of backlash against it. I think the Democrats get labeled as the ones behind it. Either way, it's the politicians, and it blows. But that wasn't the point. That wasn't the point of all this.
Oh.
I have something that blows much more.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that we got off track?
I am not. Joe is just Joe is just going to give us another segue that depresses everybody.
I know. I'm not.
Okay.
Well, that's usually my job.
Yes, it is. All right, so we go to the kids' science fair last week. So we're talking to one of the other parents that is in my daughter's class and was in my daughter's class last year. So we get to find out, last year, there was a little boy who came to school with a note. On that note was a kill list.
Oh, my God.
Of 14 kids.
Wow.
My daughter was on that list.
Oh, my God.
So the child may I got this confirmation from my daughter and another little girl asked separately, by the way, and the stories were pretty much the same. My daughter may or may not have been asked to stand up in class with the naming, with the reading of the list. Yes, the list was read by the teacher in front of the whole class, the names of the kids on this kill list, with the little boy. What?
Why?
I don't know. With the little boy, it was made, the little boy who probably has some type of emotional problems, although I'm told by my daughter he's a very nice boy, played with the other kids, never a problem or anything. He was made to stand in the front of the class while this list is being read.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That teacher should be suspended.
Well, hold on. I agree with you, Joe. That teacher should be suspended. Teacher should not be allowed to teach students. But so you got this little boy who's practically in tears, from what I'm told.
Oh, my God.
The teacher told the students not to discuss with anybody, which apparently meant the parents, because only a third of the kids came home and told their parents about this. So now for the second time, because his teacher did something similar, told the kids something not to, and said, don't tell your parents. Which,
oh my God.
Which, you know what, as a parent, you always tell your little kids, you tell me anything, especially if somebody says, don't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's right. There's more. There's more, and then we can really break into this. So let me, because there's a lot to talk about here, I think. So my daughter did not tell me any of this. So, and she would come home sometimes moody, and I didn't know why. So the chances are she came home on this day when this very traumatic thing happened, and I nor my wife could do anything to help her, to calm her down if she was uptight about this. I'm assuming if you were on a kill list, it's emotionally distressing. So this happened about a year ago. The boy was transferred out on his own. No note went home to the parents. Apparently, the police became involved on some level. I'm not sure exactly on what level. So I emailed the principal. I'm like, hey, I just heard such and such. You know what? You know, pretty much. I laid out what I've told you. What is going on here? You know, I'd like to know what's going on, because if it went down like I'm hearing, this is pretty terrible. You know, there's a lot to be upset about. And he emailed me back. I'll look into this further. I'll get back to you shortly. It turns out he's fully aware of everything. So he's just one of these guys that, from what we're told, wants to go along to get along, or get along to go along, as the phrase. Like, he doesn't like confrontations with parents or anything. So he's just probably going to try to say stuff to appease. But there is still a group of parents that does not know about this. But he tells
me... That's incredible.
Yes. So, let's break into this. What do you think about the fact that... and a little girl found the note and gave it to the teacher. So there was the opportunity to be discreet about this, you know? There was the opportunity to bring this to the principal's attention or the guidance counselor's attention with the little boy and not embarrass and make this further, and to get the parents involved and maybe send out an email. There was the opportunity to be discreet, but this teacher took it upon herself to have this little boy, who seems to have some emotional issues, because why else would you write a kill list?
Yeah.
And puts him in front of the class. So what do you think about that?
Well, you want to go,
Joe?
Okay, I think, number one, they should have had the boy seek counseling and find out from the counseling why he made up this kill list.
Mm-hmm.
and figure out what's going on in his head. They should have then deciphered it on how this child felt, and then made a decision, should we notify the parents of the children that were on this kill list, if there was a need.
Joe, let me stop you right there, and then we can discuss, right? Then I'll get Pip's take. In my opinion, in the world that we live in now, where I have to be buzzed into the school, which is something we never had as growing up, you could just walk into an elementary school. I understand why you have to be buzzed in now. I'm not complaining. But obviously,
same here, yes.
obviously they're aware of why people have to be buzzed in. So in the world that we live in the post-Columbine world, I think if your child, if something like that does happen, I think all the parents should be notified discreetly in an email. Hey, we've handled this. We want you to know what's going on. If you have any questions about the situation, feel free to contact us, and we'll be happy to discuss with you in private.
I would agree with that. Okay, that would have been a better way to handle it. Absolutely.
All right, Pip, what's your take?
It definitely would have been a better way to handle it. Since she got this information and she could have been discreet about it, she absolutely should have been. I mean, some of these kids who are having these emotional breakdowns and they're like, okay, I'm going to kill people in my place, or because they have felt set outside of the group, that they feel bullied or they feel picked on or, you know, set aside from the rest for some reason. And the worst possible thing that she could have done is what she did, set him up for ridicule in front of the whole class.
Absolutely. I highly agree with that. I understand this teacher's reasoning. Just to mortify, you're taking a child that has a problem with maybe being bullied or feeling inadequate where he wants to harm other people. And what does the teacher do? She publicly ridicules and humiliates the child in front of the class. That is going to be that is a deep-seated memory that this child is going to have. It's not like pedophilia, but it's going to leave an emotional scar, not as deep as pedophilia, but a serious one.
I agree.
The child's mind. I can't. The teacher should be suspended if not fired. I mean, that was a stupid, stupid, stupid thing to do. And and especially with all the sensitivity training. I mean, all you hear is about sensitivity training and sensitivity training, and we can't hurt people's feelings, and we can't do this, and everybody, we're all equal. And with that in mind, all right, so it is what it is. But with that in mind, you do this?
This is
as the bar? I don't understand that. It makes absolutely no sense.
This is such a gross error in judgment, and quite frankly, common sense.
God almighty, yes.
So we'll go on with that. So we all agree, having the little boy in front of the class while this list is read, it's almost unfathomable.
It's reprehensible,
it is.
Without a doubt.
All right. So then we have let's the situation. This is the second time it happened. I don't know the order, but there's been at least two times where the teacher told these little second and third graders, don't tell anybody or don't talk about it.
That is the other thing.
Because the teacher made a mistake, and she might have found out she made a mistake, and she's trying to cover her tracks.
This was right away, Joe. This is like right after, you know, this is done. This wasn't, hey, a couple of days later, oh, by the way. So this
she might have realized as soon as she's done it.
You know what? Then she made it worse. She made it worse. How do you tell? I mean, because, you know, and you brought it up in this day and age of pedophilia, you know, the big thing is, you know, don't tell mommy or daddy. This will be our secret. And then you have this teacher. And remember, these kids like their teacher. They want to protect their teacher. That's what my daughter said to me. She didn't want to get her teacher in trouble. So
right.
You have these kids keeping a secret, which goes against all the training that modern parents teach their children because of the world that we live in.
And training that the teachers go through. And, you know, you also mentioned that, you know, she also, you know, right after it, she said, you know, told the kids don't tell the parents. You know, not for nothing. She said something that stupid the first time. Why can't she say something as stupid 20 seconds later? You know, this isn't a woman that's dealing with common sense, obviously.
No. This is an egregious error because it is flying contrary to what you're trying to teach kids today, is that you can come to us and tell us, and there shouldn't be any other adults trying to take you into their confidence. Any adult saying, don't tell your parents or don't tell anybody what I just did, like you said at the top, Davin, they know that they're doing wrong, and they're trying to take the kids into their confidence right there. No matter what they say after those words, they're cooked.
Well, so I'm pretty furious about this. What do you think about the fact that we kind of already touched on it, the fact that we were kept out of the loop of this whole situation? Was that a good move?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. absolutely unbelievable not to let the parents know that this situation happened. And worse, now that you're bringing it up, he's playing the, I'll look into it and get back to you. You don't need to look into it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. This is the kind of thing that people go to the newspapers about.
Well, here's where I'm with it. I'm going to give this guy a chance to respond to me. And my recommendation, I think my wife might have came up with it. I don't know if I did or she did. The recommendation will be, if he has the balls to come back to me, is going to be, you know what, I think you should hold a meeting with all the kids, with all the parents of those kids that were in that class, to ask you any questions that may have been, because there's a lot of things that people don't know. I think it would be a good opportunity for you to be open and come clean.
Yes.
And, you know, you bring up a point where you say, well, if the principal gets back to you, you don't take things lying down, Davin. It's not going to be if he's going to get back to you. It's going to be when he gets back to you, or when you go personally to him to have a sit-down in his office.
Oh, that's going to happen.
I do sense, but I think I would.
Well, and then the next thing, excuse me, I'm eating a dot on the air. I apologize. No, it's not a little Indian kid. Stop it, you people.
I didn't even think that, but that's pretty damn funny.
Because I'm a horrible person. That's why I thought of it.
We know that.
Yes, we do. The other thing is, honestly, if I'm not satisfied with what I hear, and I don't think I will be, I think I got to take this to the superintendent.
Yes. I would.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? I don't. Well, yeah. Give the principal the benefit of the doubt. Pick his brain. See if all the children should be notified. If you get the business from him, I would absolutely go to the superintendent, and I would also demand to have a meeting with all. I would ask the superintendent and the principal, do the rest of these kids' parents know what's going on? If the answer is yes, ask them what their concerns were. If he said, well, no, you're the only one, then demand all the parents be notified of about this note, and there should be a closed-door meeting with the superintendent, with the principal, in regards to this. I mean, these schools are taking such a proactive approach on, you know, this, which is a good thing. I mean, you know, times have changed, and there's a lot more kids have to face. And for them, I mean, for them to send Common Core home and force it down your throats where they're giving you a problem where half the, you know, half of the mission control would be scratching their heads. No problem with that. But meanwhile, they have a serious situation here, and they're trying to shove it under the rug. It really shows what their agenda is with the school.
Well, this is in 2012. This was, and I guess this is a big deal because there's a sign. It was a blue ribbon school. So I guess this is one of the better schools in the country. I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm not really feeling good about this situation. You know, they cut teachers, they cut programs because of the budget. I get all that. But this is inexcusable.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. And, you know, for a blue ribbon school, I mean, there has to be certain, you know, not values, but guidelines that they have to follow. I don't know if this might screw up their blue ribbon rating, but nonetheless, they do have a duty, especially in the times we live in now, especially, you know, to find out why this child did this, what steps were to help this child, and why we were not notified that our children were on this list. This way you could sit down, you know, I mean, since the teacher had this, and you know what, they should, as a matter of fact, these teachers, they should have counseling. I mean, God forbid if a child gets killed or a teacher gets killed at the school, the, you know, counseling will be available. That's fine. In a situation like this, not, you know, it's not as grave as a teacher or a student dying, but nonetheless, it is a serious situation. They should have counseling to sit and discuss the situation with the children, how they feel, if they're okay with it. They should offer that. They should also notify the parents that this counseling is will be available to the children.
In my opinion,
Joe just touched on something I wanted to mention.
Where was it? Was it naughty?
he all the way from his house. I wanted to mention that the thing is that nobody wants to, like, take the individual teacher out in the back of the hangar, but you...
No. That's where you're wrong.
Yes, you do.
Not hangar. But in my opinion, since this is the second time she's done something where she said, don't tell the your parents, keep it quiet, this teacher needs to go. Goodbye.
Davin, I'm sorry to interrupt you, and I thought this might have been clear to me in the early in the conversation, but I want to reiterate, this is the second incident she's done this?
Person that said, don't tell your parents twice?
The first incident. I don't know the order, so this one might have been first.
She should be fired. Maybe it's a tenure thing while they're doing it.
I don't know.
Should be fired immediately.
Well, the other one was apparently towards the end of last year. Again, I don't know the order of events. This is probably the one I explained about the killers probably happened first. But needless to say, I guess the teachers were switching classes and everything, and there was going to be this whole upheaval and pie and who goes where and everything. So she, this teacher, told her class, my daughter's class, and once again was said, don't tell your parents.
She was complaining about it or something like that?
I don't know what her tone of voice, I wasn't in there, but the point is, all right, so this is supposed to be a secret? Why do our kids know before us? Because the kids get upset when they find out they might not have the teacher that they've grown to like, you know?
You know what, though? If I'm working during the day at my, the day program? If I'm at the day program and I tell the customer something that, you know, maybe we're losing a line or the pricing is going up and we're not supposed to, you know, but keep it quiet. So that gets out. Guess who gets hauled upstairs? Me. And guess who gets the book thrown at him? Me. You've got, you know, when you say something, you've got to use some common sense before you say it. You know, and if I never did that, but if I did that, or there were people I'd known that did, you know, you do that enough, your ass is out in the street. You have to expect out of an adult, especially one that's teaching children, a reasonable amount of common sense. And if they can't display that, and the first incident, you get written up, you get a talking to. But obviously, after the second time, it's really not sinking in at the disadvantage of the children. You have to go. Yeah, you have to go. You can't. You got to go.
Go on, Pip.
That was not clear to me either, Joe, that it was the same person that two times have told the kids, don't tell your parents what I'm telling you.
Yes.
No, I meant if she made one error, it might have been an issue of, I mean, lack of discretion, surely, but it might have been an issue of like, missing that part of training, mm-hmm. and that's something that they need to know, that they need to go back over
right.
and have... a protocol for what?
You think there'd be a protocol? You don't think you need to have protocol of, hey, don't further embarrass the emotionally unstable kid. You would. I mean, you kind of think that comes with the territory. I've seen the news; that never works out well. Hold on, little Johnny. Let me embarrass you. And while I do that, here, hold this loaded gun. Let's see what happens.
Well, I noticed that on the show that you guys use that protocol on me. I mean, and it's pretty effective.
What does she have to drink? Fish juice?
Yes, next time she's here, straight from the aquarium. Which tank would you like, the community tank or the African cichlid tank?
I think a cichlid.
All right, then you'll have from the community. Fair enough.
Yeah, the community, too many.
You're a community type of gal.
The thing is that if this is the second time that she's done that, she does need to be fired. And they can't just hide under the cloak of, oh, well, you know, we handled it with the teacher. Exactly what did you do?
Yeah.
Because apparently somebody needs some retraining.
It is so amazing to me how badly this was handled. Because remember, I haven't known for a year. My wife, we were blown away. We're just trying to see how crystals grow at the science fair, kids.
Yeah.
I can't believe that this happened a year ago and you just found out.
Yeah.
I would, oh boy, yeah, head's got a roll on this. Now, is this teacher still teaching?
She is. She's out sick, right? She's been out sick for a couple of months. I think she, broke her hip or something. I don't know. She hurt herself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, Skylar liked the teacher enough, but she really didn't learn with her last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this was the teacher my wife wanted. Because my wife hears things and, picks. And this year, my kid got the teacher that my wife was apoplectic about because she heard things. She was going to write a letter and everything. And I just said, you know what? Let's give it a couple weeks. Let's see what happens. And it turns out this teacher and my daughter click, and my daughter's learning, and she's happy and everything. So you don't want to judge a teacher before your kid is in that class because every kid reacts differently to every teacher. But
right.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because, like I said, I'm not a parent, but I hear things from you. I also hear my things from my friend where there was a problem in class with her daughter and another student, And the teacher really didn't handle it the best way, and she had to step in like once or twice. And, you know, it's very, the little girl, you know, she was, you know, a very emotional thing for her, you know, and it's just the way the teachers handle it. And, you know, very, I tell you, sometimes I'm glad I never became a parent because it seems to me I'd be down at the school every week.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, listen, it just goes to show that good teachers should be respected and paid more and appreciated more than they are, because they really do work hard, good teachers. They really do go the extra mile. They're fantastic. But yeah, the bad teachers, this tenure is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. I was just gonna say it should be merit over tenure.
I agree.
And I think they're trying to do that in the city schools. That the unions would never accept that. Davin, is your school district a union free school district?
Not that I know of.
Okay, because mine down here in Elwood is union free. Because, you know, sometimes the unions would complain about that, but it's absolutely should be merit over tenure. And if it's anything else, it's a disservice to the children.
You know what? It's not union free. Now that I think, now that we got unions, because her kindergarten teacher got the axe because she was like a low teacher on the totem pole. She was young and new and everything. My daughter really liked her kindergarten teacher too. She was okay.
Right.
You know.
Did they go to the teachers convention?
I don't know. I'm sure they did. There's like another convention this Friday. My kid's never in school. There's always a convention to attend. Apparently, how to handle the kid with the kill list is not on the agenda.
No, flying out and getting, you know, flying out to Atlanta and going to a convention, all expenses paid. Everybody on board. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get liquored up and take selfies. That'll get us fired in a few years.
Yeah, and you want to know something? Your tax bill. You look at your tax bill. Your tax bill is the highest thing out of your you know, your taxes. I mean, it's just...
You mean your school?
Yeah, the school taxes is, you know, is just extraordinary, you know. And for what you pay, you know, you need to have a say in this, you know.
Well, this was supposed to be a really good school district.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what, though? Having gone through not having my own classroom, but having, way back in the day, been taught to be a teacher and to be in the classroom... Davin and his wife are really on top of things, and they are exemplary parents.
Oh, why, thank you.
I really, truly believe that. However...
Who fooled you? We trot the child out when you guys appear. Now, appear happy, appear well-adjusted. Now, go back to your hovel.
The poor little thing lives like Anne Frank. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
You know, Joe, that's not fair. Joe, that's not fair. We give her – she has a bedding of pine shavings. She has a little water bottle. She has alfalfa to nibble on. Not like Anne Frank, Joe. No, no.
Christ, I wish I got this here.
You know what? But I do notice the welts.
We need to do a better job with the cover-up makeup. My bad.
Yeah, really. Step it up.
Have you noticed that she flinches, or is she? Because I told her, I go, you want to act, you better learn how not to flinch.
Well, you know, as many times as I go to hit her, you know, like half the time she flinches, half the time she doesn't. So she's doing much better.
We'll work on that.
But what I was going to say is that for every pair of good parents like you guys, there are parents who are insane, neglectful, checked out.
Oh, yeah.
But my point is, I mean, that happens, but my point is, then you have teachers, and I know I don't have to, stick up for the teachers. You know, teachers are doing a hard job, but there are going to be people who are, like the helicopter parents or the insane people that come in, and they have expectations of teachers that are way above and beyond what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. And in those cases, you have to have the protections that being in a union affords you.
No, I mean, listen, I think you can have hearings in front of a superintendent, you know.
Yeah.
There's two sides to every story. If there's something that is so bad, then you have the parents go in and you have the teachers go in, and there you go. This is not that. This is not that situation.
No.
Because there are crazy parents and there are neglectful parents and there are those teachers that go the extra mile to do for the students what the parents should be doing.
Right.
This does not appear to be that.
No. I'm not saying this scenario, no. I mean, some of the emotional neglect that I saw during my short time doing this was so painful for me. That's one of the reasons why I felt I had to get out.
No, listen, that's why I said, man, great teachers should really be applauded and everything. But we can't have teachers reading kill lists with kids' names on it, with emotionally unstable children practically in tears, and oh, by the way, stand up, your name's on the list, but don't tell mommy and daddy. We can't have that.
God, no. No. No, that's she's got to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, even if it's a union district, I don't think they could even argue with that. I mean, that's inexcusable what she did. I mean, absolutely inexcusable and a total lack of common sense. I don't think, you know, how, and even if you were going to fight the union for it's a second time. It's a second incident. I mean, how are you going to, how would you even defend, even if you had the union, how are you going to defend that?
Well, my daughter, I think, is supposed to have this teacher again next year. You can damn well bet she won't.
Right.
She shouldn't be there next semester. She shouldn't be there next year.
Well, listen, I don't know. I'm going to play it by ear. Maybe we'll have an update. But, yeah, you're right, Joe. I don't take things sitting down. This is, you know, all of a sudden, I've never written a note to a principal or a teacher. This is usually my wife's domain. But I was actually more pissed off about it the other night than she was. She was actually defending the teacher at one point. And then and then she learned a little bit more. You know, I had to run my email past her before I sent it off to the principal because apparently I'm a crazy man, which is not – which really isn't true. I'm actually pretty cool, calm, and collected.
Well, let me ask you a question. When did she call – how much information did you have when she called you a crazy man? Because obviously in this situation, at least, you're not.
we had heard the story from the mom – the mom's little girl and my daughter separately, meaning the two little girls had pretty much the same story, and they were asked separately, so they couldn't, like, you know, copy off of each other, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, well, that's enough. But I didn't want to accuse. I wanted to get some information, and apparently this principal's heard the show, and he don't want to deal with me.
Oh, really?
We'll find out. All right. Pip, what's going on with you?
Besides being broken,
in so many ways.
Oh, let me count the ways. I went to see Cabaret in the city on, that would be New York City for people listening outside of our area. We have a tendency in our area to call it the city, like it's the only friggin' one.
You mean it's right? Not?
But we went to, my friends and I went to see Cabaret, and it was fantastic.
Good.
Yeah, it was really good. What was a little odd to me was that it was a packed house, and
you're not used to those because you've been to our comedy shows.
Yeah, right. I thought she described one of our shows.
Yeah,
it was a little odd to me.
And it was and so we went. One of my friends had fallen ill that morning, and she was just feeling too sick to go. And these were kind of expensive tickets, so when I got there, I just asked the box office, do you ever resell tickets? And they said no, but there's a line of people right across that hallway there. They're waiting to see if there are any cancellations to buy tickets for this show. And you could go and sell it to one of them for the face value or less, but you have to do it outside. And I'm like, okay. So I went over to the first guy in line, and I'm like, you know, I have a ticket, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, sold. Without even asking me how much it was.
Wow.
I know.
Did he realize he had to sit next to you?
No. Well, in Cabaret, it's in the old Studio 54, and it's set up like a club, and they have little tables of four seats at them.
Oh. Okay.
And there were going to be five of us, so I was going to sit at the table next door, but then when my friend dropped out, it worked out perfectly. There were four of us at a table, and he sat at the table next door.
Okay.
And so that was good, but the weird thing was he didn't come back after the intermission.
Why is that weird?
Do you pay $162 to see a show?
If you think it sucks.
In the middle?
If you think it sucks. How many people walked out of Joe's show? They had no idea.
Yeah.
Did they pay $162 to sit there?
No, never.
And life wasn't a cabaret.
No, but they did. They did pay enough ticket to get a beefsteak dinner.
I have no idea. We just thought it was really odd.
Well, you know what? Though, no, seriously. All kidding aside, if you don't like the show, it's better than, you know, what happens to, you know, some of us at comedy shows, you know, where people start being disruptive and booing and or getting heckling or chatting or looking on the phone. Leaving is the better option if you're not having a good time.
I suppose so, but I can't imagine that anybody would put up with somebody heckling or chatting or making a disruption on Broadway.
No, that's why I want to play Broadway.
Yeah, you get your ass knocked out.
No, but I mean he's not having a good time. Maybe he didn't think he was going to get a ticket after all, and he had other plans. So he just went.
That you sold a ticket to, right?
Uh huh.
Did he pay you cash?
He did.
So what do you give a shit where he goes?
I'm with you.
Go to hell, as far as you're concerned.
My friend said that to me. She goes, "Well, you got the money, so what do you care?" And I'm just,
"Yeah, well, give this shit. Well, it's not like you insured him a good time. Here's your ticket, stupid. Then the show starts in 20 minutes. Have a ball."
Yeah, I know, really, but it's not like you produced the show, Pip. It's not like you got a vested interest in it. Oh, I hope this guy doesn't go on Yelp and give bad reviews.
Maybe you suggested a rewrite after the second act. I mean, what do you give a shit?
Yeah.
Beat it, stupid. Who cares where you go?
Pip's like, but we can change. We can put the understudies in. Don't go.
No, I really don't know why that bothered me. It shouldn't. It's none of my business. But I was like, what the hell? Where'd it go? Why?
You didn't get his number when you sold him that ticket all of a sudden out of the blue for cash? You didn't get a way to contact him?
No, but you know what was funny is that I went, after he gave me the money, I went to shake his hand because we introduced ourselves, and he wouldn't shake my hand, but he put up his fist for like a fist bump.
Again, he's heard the show. He knows what a filthy hoarder animal you are.
and so they said, "Oh, I'm not touching any of that."
Exactly. I don't even want to be in the same space as you.
No. I was talking about Mr. Helix.
Oh, wow.
The only time I went to a concert with somebody and they left suddenly and I was concerned, a comic buddy of mine found out that I liked Rush, and he couldn't go see the Rush show because he had to do his play. So he sold me a ticket, and I wound up going to the concert, and his wife was there, and I, you know, was hanging out with his wife at the concert. And towards the end of the Rush concert, she said, "I have to run to the ladies' room. I'll be right back." And then she was gone. And it was, you know, I was kind of worried because I didn't know what happened to her. You know, I didn't want to explain to my friend. I don't know where your wife went, if she disappeared or something like that. Turned out that she wasn't feeling that well, so she went home. And then I think she left me a message and stuff like that. But, you know, I was concerned. And, I was like, I don't know where she went. And, you know, she's, you know, my friend's wife. And if she didn't come on, I don't know where she went, you know. So I was a little concerned, but I mean, for a total stranger, and he sold you the ticket, I don't give a damn if he gets hit by a truck, whatever. Cash is king.
Now, Joe, is it possible that she really wasn't that she wasn't feeling well? She went backstage to blow Geddy Lee, and that's the story you want to tell your friend.
Believe me, if she's going to blow Geddy Lee, she might want to get glasses first.
Why? Is he smaller than your driveway? I don't understand.
And I don't understand. I mean, Geddy Lee, you know, for a rock star, I mean, he's a phenomenal musician. But, I mean, it's not, you know, he's not a looker.
Joe, that's right. Because all these women throw themselves because all these guys are just so darn good looking. That's what it is, Joe.
Geddy Lee, come on, dude.
Oh, my God. He looks like a chicken with a wig on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think kind of groupie material.
His cock has had more lips on it than Clarence Clemens' trombone or whatever the hell he plays.
All right, it would have been funny if he didn't fuck up the tail.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I don't know a lot of horn players. I just know Geddy Lee got more than we'll ever see,
well,
all right?
Well, on your way, and then, Jesus, I don't know what the hell happened there.
Listen,
and I know you're pissed at yourself because when you started stumbling, you're like, probably shit.
Now, I knew I didn't have it coming, but I thought I could sneak through it. Put that joke on the kill list.
Nope. Nope.
You stuck through it like a room full of mousetraps.
Yeah. Well, all right, now, don't anybody who's heard that joke tell anybody about it.
Right.
All right, guys, let's take our first break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. So don't you go anywhere, all right?
Unique and different.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, Gone Rogue Radio, HawkRadio.net. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. On iHeartRadio, you will find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.